Well, good morning. And are you all awake?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, well, it is the 11 o'clock service, so that's good. We are continuing our message series, Awakened, specifically Awakened to His Voice. We're learning to hear God's voice. Now, last week during the Arctic vortex, God spoke and said, stay home, stay warm, okay? This week, God says, listen to Di. No. Obviously, I'll be speaking today. You'll hear my voice, but we're going to invite the Holy Spirit to speak through me and through His Word so we can hear what God has to say today. Let's pray. We are thankful, Father. You are a speaking God. And what a privilege that you've given us your very own Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are the one who leads and guides us into all truth. You are the one who reveals more and more of Jesus. You teach us the deep things of God. So we need you today. Breathe on your word. Open our hearts. Give us ears to hear. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we've had a couple of really good messages in this series, Awaken to His Voice, both Julie and Daniel. They spoke from passages in the Old Testament, Abraham and Jacob, and how they were awakened to hear God's voice. And we learned about trusting God, obeying God, even wrestling with God. And now today I'm going to jump to the New Testament. And for those of you who read along and are one year Bible, and by the way, if you don't have one, we do have complimentary copies out at the lounge, both in English and Spanish. So stop by after the service, pick it up. But for those of you who read the one-year Bible, you know that every day we have an Old Testament passage, a New Testament passage, a psalm, and a proverb, and we track along each day. Well, currently we are in the Gospel of Matthew in the New Testament, and so I'm going to be preaching from that gospel today, specifically Matthew 13, which we actually read about 10 days or so ago, and I've called this message Awakened to Grace. And we're actually going to listen to Jesus speak here in Matthew 13 because he's going to tell many stories. Now, Jesus was a master storyteller. And the stories he told were called parables. Those are just simple, usually pretty short stories about life, farming, fishing, eating. And there always appears to be a pretty obvious meaning right there as you hear it. But this is the interesting thing about Jesus' parables. They both conceal truth and reveal truth. And that presents a dilemma. Okay, how do we hear and understand these stories? And Jesus often commended his listeners. He said, have ears to hear. Even in this text today in Matthew 13, verse 9, he says, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Well, most people have ears that hear, unless you suffer from deafness. But nevertheless, Jesus said a deeper level of listening, hearing will be required as he is speaking. So how do we have ears that hear? Because if they don't hear, we can get it wrong. And many have. I mean, including me, okay? If we don't understand what Jesus is teaching, we can suffer just from ignorance or even twisted theology and miss out on his amazing grace and love and goodness. If we miss the meaning, we miss much. So, I've always loved stories. Particularly, I like stories with a little bit deeper meaning, even simple ones like Aesop fables or more complex like Chronicles of Narnia. Obviously, I'm talking about children's lit. Because when I was homeschooling my five children, I so wanted to build character through literature in them, but I knew I couldn't constantly pound them with Bible verses. So I often used stories, fables, and other stories with a moral. But you have to know how to hear those stories in order to get the lesson that's being taught. Let me give you a recent illustration. My husband, Happy, and I were out on the coast in North Carolina, and we were walking on the beach, and it was quite chilly. And we'd grabbed our coats, and the wind had picked up. The sun was kind of playing this peekaboo, and we were zipping up tight. And I said to Hap, you know, this reminds me of one of Molly's favorite stories. Molly's one of my granddaughters, and we often read together. The Sun and the Wind. Do you remember that? And he goes, no, tell me. I said, okay. Well, it's a great story. The sun and the wind are arguing about a man who's walking along wearing a coat, and the challenge is, who can make that man take off his coat? So, of course, the wind is like, hey, I've got this, he boasts, and he begins to blow. Nothing happens. He blows harder. Well, the man buttons one button, and he blows harder, and the man buttons another button. Then he blows as hard as he can, and this time, the man not only buttons his coat all the way up, he grabs his arms and holds the coat tight to his body. So the son says, give up? He says, all out of breath. Okay, so now it's the son's turn. And the son, he begins to shine warmly and gently. And pretty soon the man unbuttons one button. And then he shines a little bit brighter, a little bit warmer. He unbuttons another button. And then it gets warmer, and he unbuttons another button. And before you know it, he takes off his coat, puts it over his arm, and I guess I won. So I said to Hap, I just love the meaning of that story. And it, ironically, just as we were talking about it, we were taking off our coats because the sun had come out. And Hap goes, yeah, I do too. You know, people like the sun much better than the wind. And I go, no. I said, that's not the meaning. But I had a lot of grace for him. You know, he's never really read it. So I said, look, is the sun more enjoyable than the wind? Yes, of course. That's not the real meaning of the story. It's much deeper, more powerful than that. The lesson, love is stronger than force. You see, love shared warmly, like the sun, is so much stronger than brute bullying force if we want someone to do something. So it takes a deeper level, right, of listening to understand that meaning. Well, in the same way, it's going to be important we know how to hear the meaning of Jesus' stories. And actually, a major theme of Jesus' stories is love is much stronger than force, if you have ears to hear. So we want to be awakened to his voice. But we do need help. And thankfully, we have incredible help. The Holy Spirit, his gift, he reveals truth to us. I don't know about you. I can't read the Bible without the Holy Spirit. I invite him every day to reveal truth to me every day. Okay. But the Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians, he said this in 1 Corinthians 2. He said, but it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. So why does this matter? Well, let me reiterate. It matters because if we don't have ears that hear and understand what Jesus is saying, we can get it all wrong and misapply it to our own lives or maybe to the lives of others in our small group or in our family. We all suffer the consequences of ignorance or even worse, twisted theology. We miss out on God's true meaning of love and grace. And I have a confession. I've missed it. I have. I'm guilty. I've not always had ears to hear what Jesus is saying, even after I was filled with the Spirit. And the two parables, they're very short, that I'm going to read today, I want you to know I originally preached the wrong interpretation. My ears didn't actually hear and understand what Jesus was teaching. I preached a very popular interpretation, for sure. But I'm sorry, as I'm sure it did damage to someone somewhere, definitely to myself. But I'm thankful the Holy Spirit awakened me to have ears that hear Jesus. So we're going to go to Matthew 13, And what you need to know, Matthew 13 is full of parables. We're only going to read two short ones. But I need to give you a little bit of context here, because many of Jesus' parables were revealing truth about the kingdom of God. Now, in Matthew, he uses the phrase kingdom of heaven. But don't think like heaven off somewhere. That is a phrase that's synonymous with the kingdom of God. Now, the reason Jesus had to reveal truth about the kingdom of God is what he is going to reveal has been a mystery hidden for centuries. You see, if you asked any ordinary Jewish person, you know, the Israelites who knew Jewish history, what do you think is the kingdom of God? They're like, well, we know it's the rule of God, but it's when he comes as a final act, redemptively in history, deals with all of our oppressors and our enemies and establishes his rule forever. Well, that's not what is happening as Jesus announces the kingdom of God is at hand. He's showing a mystery, a truth that was hidden, that Rome is not the enemy. There is another enemy, and his name is Satan. And that's why Jesus is casting out demons, healing the sick, forgiving the sinner, right? But this takes revelation, because it was a shift from the paradigm that they were used to hearing. Now, Jesus' listeners, they were like us, just ordinary people. You know, they weren't like some super smart theologian. I mean, the religious guys were, but for the most part, his listeners, yeah, they were just ordinary people. And so understanding doesn't take like you to be an intellectual whiz. It takes Holy Spirit revelation. Okay, now, he's getting ready here, calling the people together, and I'm going to start out reading in Matthew 13:1, just to set the stage for you. Then I'm going to shift down a little bit into verses down a little bit later, but I'm going to switch to the Message translation because I like how it renders what Jesus was teaching. Okay, so Matthew 13:1. Later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore. Would everyone please stand? No, no. Sorry. I couldn't resist. Because you're all so quiet. He told many stories in the form of parables. Then he started telling some parables. Okay, he goes down a couple verses all the way to verse 10. Now I'm going to pick up there, and this is what his disciples are asking him. I'm reading now from the Message translation. Here we go. The disciples came up and asked, "Why do you tell stories?" He replied, "You've been given insight into God's kingdom. You know how it works. Not everybody has this gift, this insight. It hasn't been given to them. Whenever someone has a ready heart for this, the insights and understandings flow freely. But if there's no readiness, any trace of receptivity soon disappears. And that's why I tell stories, to create readiness, to nudge the people toward a welcome awakening." How'd they know that was going to be our sermon series 2,000 years later? I don't know, but that's it. A welcome awakening. How can we be nudged toward a welcome awakening so we can truly hear what Jesus is saying? I'm going to read the two parables that are a little bit later here in this chapter, and the ones that I got wrong, and I'm going to give you my incorrect interpretation. It's, again, very popular. But then we're going to learn, how can I be nudged toward a welcome awakening to hear the voice of Jesus? Okay, now I'm switching back to New Living. So this is, again, Matthew 13. Here we go, verse 44. These are the parables. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hit it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. Now, the meaning seems fairly obvious. And I've always loved these two parables. You know, they're short, they're good preaching text. And I just loved exhorting people. You know, Jesus, the king, and the kingdom are so valuable. They're such a treasure that when you, I mean, look, you got to go. When you find him, sell everything. Surrender all. Give up everything we possess. And with joy, with excitement. So you can get Jesus, the pearl of great price, the great treasure. I mean, doesn't that sound right? You're all thinking, yeah, right? That sounds right. Well, it's wrong. Now, I liked preaching that because I watched people's response. You know, some were like weeping. Sometimes, well, you could always feel a lot of guilt come over also. But I'm humbly here to say I got it wrong. Now, can that be taught that way? Yes, and it's taught that way in a lot of places by a lot of people. But I think there's a much deeper truth, a truth that took my awakening to grace in order to grasp. See, for many years, I was in bondage to religion, to self-effort, striving, trying harder, always feeling like I'd failed to really live up to what Jesus wanted, what Jesus required. And I was still living under the old covenant view of God and my relationship with him. Was I born again? Yes. Was I filled with the Holy Spirit? Yes. But I did not live as though I were a new creation with a new, clean, righteous heart. I was always trying harder. I was always trying to fix my heart. That somehow I thought, well, I'm still like deceitful. Like I might be half good, half bad, but I really need to work hard to be good enough. My focus was on me, myself. What I had to do to get to Jesus, the precious pearl, the hidden treasure. My emphasis was on my striving, my trying harder, my surrender, my giving up all. My motives were good. But then in 2010, you know, as my heart just yearned to really know Jesus more, to not be miserable, actually, to love him more passionately, to obey him more readily, the Holy Spirit brought fresh revelation. My ears began to open up to the amazing grace of all that Jesus had done. His work, his finished work, the smashing success of the cross. Now, did I know about the cross? Absolutely. The resurrection? Yes. I had not had the revelation of how incredible the cross of Jesus Christ was, okay? And I got my eyes off myself, my efforts, my striving, onto Jesus. No longer self-focused, but Savior-focused, or Son, S-O-N, focused. A Savior who did all the work for me, for you. You see, Jesus' finished work took all my sin, truly gave me a clean, righteous heart, a brand new identity as a beloved, beloved daughter, pleasing in his sight. Oh, how do I live in that? Oh, I'm glad you asked. His very own Holy Spirit to move inside. You know, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. But oh, when you learn to partner with the Holy Spirit, it's a whole new ballgame. Now, will there be mistakes? Absolutely. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit, well, he's my very best friend for sure. So as I read God's word, including these parables, I needed my sunglasses, S-O-N, glasses. Now, if you were here a couple weeks ago when Daniel introduced us to sunglasses, there he is. Oh, what we use that just as a metaphor for talking about reading, seeing, hearing the Bible through the lens of Jesus and his finished work and the amazing grace of God, okay? Now, we read the whole Bible. All the Bible is written for us, okay? Not all the Bible is written to us, but all of it is written for us. And so that's why we always look at the Old Testament, the New Testament. But when we read the Bible with our sunglasses through the finished work of what Jesus did on the cross, we are sun-focused. We see it's his work, not ours, all right? And to properly interpret the parables, you definitely need to have on sunglasses, because he's talking about the reality of his kingdom coming, breaking in now, and his spirit being present now. All right, so we take off our self-glasses, we put on our sunglasses. You see, when we have on our self-glasses, where's the focus? Our work, right? We sell all. We give up all. We sacrifice. We work. Well, when the Holy Spirit nudged me toward that welcome awakening, my ears began to open up to the amazing, amazing grace of all that Jesus had done in a fresh way. And I swapped out my self-glasses for sunglasses. You know, when you have on self-glasses, you either go over a cliff of pride, because, man, look at me. Yeah. I read my Bible every day. Like, I'm pretty with it. Or you go off the other cliff, the cliff of shame. Oh, I failed again. All the focus is on self instead of our Savior. Now, I put on my sunglasses, and this is what I learned about the parables that we just read. I saw Jesus was the God-man who came to a field called Earth. And he came seeking us. He searched, and sure enough, he finds us human beings buried in sin, dirtied by all of that, but made in his image and so precious, so valuable, so loved, he's willing to go and do what? Sell all. With what price? His very own blood. He knew we were so precious, so valuable, he would give up all, even his own life, in exchange for us. He did the giving up. He made the sacrifice so we could be restored in our identity and relationship with him. We are the precious pearls to Jesus. Now, that is something to clap about. Let me remind you of how Jesus repeatedly modeled and taught our God is a seeking God. He's a seeking God, a loving, seeking Father who's coming after you. Oh, yes, he is. Now, this again was shocking to the Jews of that day. They hadn't heard from God for over 400 years. They think, of course, he's angry. You know, he's waiting, and he's going to burst into history, defeat the enemy, and it's over. But when Jesus begins to not only proclaim, but demonstrate, guess what? The kingdom is here. God is here. God is here. And I want you to know something about this God that maybe you don't know. He's like the good shepherd who leaves the 99 to go get the one. He's the seeking God. Jesus said he's like that woman who lost one of 10 coins, and she furiously cleans her home until she found the one. And then she calls her neighbors and say, "Rejoice with me." That's the seeking God. You see, we do not seek God and find him. God seeks us and awakens us to seek him. Now, you have a choice, okay? You can say yay or nay. I just want you to think for a moment. Where did he find you? Now, interestingly, in light of all this revelation of what Jesus had really done for me, the love he had, the grace, two things happened. One, I began to see myself as Jesus sees me, a precious pearl, a beloved daughter, a redeemed, righteous, beautiful pearl of God. I saw myself as a treasure worthy of his blood. Wait, did that like somehow give me some license to go live how I wanted? No, it caused me to want to, guess what? Sell all, give all, surrender all. You see, as Jesus got bigger, better, and more beautiful, well, the irony was he wanted to make sure I too got bigger, better, and more beautiful in his eyes as his beloved daughter. And I wanted to adore him. Secondly, I begin to see all those around me as precious pearls for whom Jesus gave up all in order to give a brand new light. Now, they might not look too great. They might still be dirtied by sin or not. But what happened is I had a fresh desire to put off judgment, put off criticism, put off prejudice, and look at each person made in the image of God, of much worth, of much value, a precious pearl in the eyes of Jesus. Wow. I was activated afresh to love others. Well, I had a welcome awakening to God's reckless love, his amazing grace. It's still ongoing, trust me. Apart from him, I can do nothing. But let me give you just a couple steps to a welcome awakening to grace, okay? Let's go back to that text from Matthew 13, where Jesus said, whenever someone has a ready heart for this, the insights and understandings flow freely. But if there is no readiness, any trace of receptivity soon disappears. That's why I tell stories, to create readiness, to nudge the people toward a welcome awakening. So how can we have more of a ready heart, right? To hear the deeper things of Jesus with our sunglasses on, right? And these could be, they're not necessarily in like a chronological order. I say we need all of these every day. Number one, just a fresh embrace or revelation of the amazing grace of God. A new covenant focus where you know you have a new, clean, righteous heart, Savior-focused, not self-focused. Makes a huge difference. Then a daily, I mean daily, infilling of the Holy Spirit. Not only does he teach us and lead us into all truth, he reveals more and more of Jesus. You know, this is not just a brain thing. This is a heart thing. And the Holy Spirit does amazing. He wants to reveal. And one of the best ways he does it is as we stay humble, as we stay teachable. Like, even in old age, stay teachable, stay humble, be willing to admit, I got it wrong, but thank you, Jesus, that you continue to lead and guide us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Now we, of course, in this season where some of you are fasting, we do recommend really feasting on God's word. And I am a fan, I'm a dedicated fan of the one-year Bible for many, many years. I've lost count. I don't know, maybe 35 or 40. And what I am excited about is even after today, as you open your one-year Bible, and maybe you only want to read the Psalm and the Proverb, or maybe you only want to read the New Testament, that's okay. But you say, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit, fill me. Reveal your truth to me. Reveal more of Jesus to me. I could see fresh revelation just flowing. And I'm not talking about wacko revelation. I'm talking, this is how you check if it's wacko or not, okay? the wacko test. Okay, if like what you think you're hearing, like what Jesus is saying about himself or even about you or life, in all of that, is Jesus getting bigger, better, and more beautiful? Because if he is, you're on the right track. Okay? Now, often, if the way I'm interpreting something, I can now feel like, ooh, I can feel like a sluggard, shameful, depressed. Stop. Put on my sunglasses. Now, maybe the Holy Spirit is like, he's correcting something. Trust me, we need him to do that. But my point is, when you get fresh revelation, it's going to lift you up. It's going to make Jesus bigger, better, and more beautiful. Okay. Now, I have a couple of recommendations, a couple books. And The Gospel in 10 Words is my husband's absolute favorite book. And I do enjoy reading things from Paul Ellis. He has a very unique writing style, very easy to understand, but very powerful. He's actually coming out with a book about the parables in March. So we recommend that. And then this is not like a shameless plug for my own book, but Wrecked for God, The Surprising Truth of True Transformation, that actually documents my whole journey of being nudged to a welcome awakening. And so if you are a committed reader, now a lot of people aren't, that's okay. But if you are a committed reader, we have 15 free copies at the lounge that you just go there after service and it's yours. Okay. And then last but not least, when you leave the auditorium today, I have available a literal memory stone. Do you know what memory stones are? You know, it's those things that, you know, you put in your pocket or you put in a flower pot or you put it somewhere to remind you of a truth that the enemy keeps wanting to steal. And so when you leave today, pick up your pearl, okay? Pick up your pearl. So that you can be reminded, first and foremost, you are a precious pearl to Jesus. And then watch your heart swell with love for the precious pearl, Jesus himself. Okay? So, we're going to get ready to worship him. And just let me say, if there's anyone here who wants to, in light of how amazing Jesus is, surrender all and be water baptized. We're ready for you with personnel to help you with shorts and t-shirts. And so we welcome you to do that as we worship this amazing Savior. Yeah, amen.